A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. "This is the time of fulfillment," he said. "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. I need to give you a little warning this morning. It's about the gospel. In the gospel, you hear Jesus calling his first four apostles, and they drop everything from fish to fathers to follow him. Well, I want to warn you that it might really not have been exactly that same way. Some time ago, I learned about a document. I've got a copy of it. That some say was discovered about the same time as the Dead Sea Scrolls, but it didn't get the same notice and attention that it did. It's addressed to Jesus of Nazareth from the Jordan Management Consultants, and this is what it says. "Dear Sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have chosen for management positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and we've not only run the results through our computer, but we have also arranged interviews for each of them with our psychologist and our vocational aptitude consultant. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in the background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We should recommend that you continue your search for persons of greater experience in managerial ability and proven capability. For instance, Simon Peter is emotionally unstable. He is given to fits of temper. Andrew, his brother, has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The other brothers, James and John, obviously place their own personal ambition far above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our ethical duty to inform you that Matthew, the tax collector, has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. And Thaddeus and Simon of the Zealot Party have radical leanings. And even more alarming, they both have registered a high score on the manic depressive scale. One of your chosen candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of proven ability and resourcefulness, is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We highly recommend him as your controller and right-hand man. His name is Judas Iscariot." All the other profiles are self-explanatory. Well, apparently Jesus never got the memo, or he completely disregarded it, because even these apostles, especially in the Gospel of Mark that we're reading this year, come across as dumb and dumber. Even so, they still ended up as dedicated, devoted, and committed witnesses to Jesus and his resurrection, so that almost all of them, 11 out of 12, gave their life in witness to Jesus. There's a somewhat similar story in that first reading about the call of Jonah. Now, this is the same Jonah who was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Why? because he tried to flee when God called him to preach to the people of Nineveh in present-day Iraq. But when the whale finally belched him up, we read that Jonah did what he did in today's reading, preached to the people. But what we don't read in today's reading is that after that, he hoped that these people would not repent. He went up to the mountain just waiting for God to zap them. And when that didn't happen and they repented, he was angry. Why? Because he wanted God to be the God of Israel only and not the God of everybody else. But God chewed him out, and Jonah finally repented of his selfishness. So you see, I think that these readings have some special meaning for you and me today. Do you feel especially called by God? Probably most of you would say no. In fact, some of you might feel like running from the idea the way that Jonah did, or feel that you would do just as bad on a management consultant test. But the truth is, each one of us is unique. There is nobody in the whole universe that ever had or will ever have your DNA. That's unique to you. Nobody else in the universe will ever have or ever has had your fingerprints. They are unique to you. And nobody else has your personality or your talents or your experiences or your shortcomings and your weaknesses. And far more important, no one else in this universe ever had or ever will have that unique soul or spirit that God breathed into you, a soul or spirit specifically designed for you at the first moment of your human existence. That means we are special. God made each one of us for a special purpose, a special vocation, a special call. And the truth is that each one of us will find our greatest happiness and our greatest satisfaction in discovering that call and fulfilling it as well as we can. And for most of us, that call may seem to be very ordinary, down to earth, and routine. One day, a teacher monitoring a playground was watching a handicapped child. He was struggling with his special walker at a curb. He couldn't get over that curb, and he kept pushing and pushing, but it wouldn't budge. So the teacher went over to help. But the child brushed the teacher away and kept trying until finally he pushed that walker over the curb and then ran happily to join his friends. That child would not say that he had special needs. That child would say that he was special. And so is each one of us special. That's true of you and me. But we may need to be more creative, more imaginative, more determined as that child to be whoever we are called to be so uniquely. May the Jesus who called those apostles and probably tore up or never saw that management study nourish each one of us in this Eucharist to keep discovering the unique vocation that each one of us has been given, the work of art that each one of us really is. And may each of us offer ourselves to God along with Jesus in this Eucharist so that the kingdom of God can continue to come in us, in our lives, and in the lives of all those who experience you and me. Amen. Now I want to introduce a unique experience in the name of Jesse Amanda Busan, who's going to be our leader in our Festival of Faith this week.
Good morning, church. Just a quick introduction. I know that when people see me for the first time, most folks are taken aback. They see me and they think, oh my gosh, he looks like Frank Sinatra. So just let that be. Just accept it. I'm a lay missionary from the Archdiocese of San Francisco, son of Frank and Lola Manabusin, retired Air Force, Juan and Carmen San Nicolas, retired Navy, one of nine children, small Catholic family. And I'm here with you starting yesterday for this Festival of Faith, and I'm here just for a few minutes to invite you and to give you a sense of the experience. When God calls us, when we're on it, when we're paying attention, our eyes are open, our ears are open, we're fine-tuned, we're present, we're mindful. But life, it doesn't take much to get derailed. It doesn't take much to get distracted. Amen? Case in point, when someone asks, who's the church, you say, we are. Who's the church? Yes. When someone asks, who's the church, you say, we are. When someone says, where's the church, you say, right here. Where's the church?
Right here.
Who's the church? When someone adds a three-letter conjunction, and, you say, everywhere. And?
Everywhere.
Who's the church?
We are.
Where's the church?
Right here.
And?
Everywhere.
What do cows drink? Water, but thanks for trying. So, a festival of faith is just another way to say, let's make another time to stop, to slow down, and to pay attention. Jonah gets the call. He has intentions. We get the call, and sometimes we just miss it. Life can distract us. So, to be able to see the Imago Dei, the image of God in all things, in all circumstances, in all situations. Simply repeat after me. Everywhere I go, I see you. 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 In the youngest, in the eldest, and everyone in between, the Imago Dei. In the rich, in the poor, the welcome and the unwelcome, invited and uninvited. Everywhere I go, I see you. 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 The Festival of Faith is for every age group. I'll be meeting with folks from Monday through Wednesday, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then again for folks who can get out in the evening, starting at 6 with a simple meal, and then we'll begin in the church at 7. I turned 59 last year. My dad's 89. He says I'm still a teenager. I don't feel that way anymore. I traveled the world, sent by my archdiocese and my school, the Franciscan School in Berkeley, now in San Diego. And I'm feeling my age. I'm feeling it. It's not because of 7 grandchildren, although that does factor in. But I'm like Jonah. I would rather not travel. I would rather work for a bakery for obvious reasons. I'm a homebody. I'm a mama's boy. I can't seem to get away from this particular ministry where I visit military bases and families deployed overseas and Catholic schools in Canada and in the United States. So in the spirit of Jonah, who finds himself running the other way with his own intentions, take a chance on this festival of faith. It will ripple, and I guarantee you it will deepen your faith. You will cultivate joy and hope and deepen your faith. It'll change us every moment we gather like this. Who's the church?
We are.
Where's the church?
Right
here. And?
Everywhere.
What do cows drink?
Water.
The change has begun. All right, God bless. We'll see you in our sessions.